All right, morning, everyone. Today's daf in Tanis daf Lamed. We're on Chav Tes Amid Beis, the last daf of the Masechta. There is a daf tomorrow, Lamed Aleph, but as you can see on the page, you'll see it's a very short daf. So hopefully we will be able to conclude most of it today, and whatever we don't finish today, we'll finish up tomorrow. We're on Chav Tes Amid Beis, and we're starting today with the halachos of Tisha B'Av. As you can see, there's not a lot of halachos in Tisha B'Av mentioned in the Gemara. The Gemara itself provides a daf and a half of halachos, and you'll see in terms of actual halachos, there aren't that many. A couple of debates that we'll be experiencing over the course of today, but very few. And I'll point out a little bit later on this morning that despite the halacha, there are also minhagim that were layered on top of the halacha. So you'll see that the halacha mentioned in the Gemara is not necessarily that which we practice today. We are more machmir, we're more strict today. Based on various minhagim that have been adopted over the past hundreds of years. Okay, in the Gemara itself, we're at the two dots. We're towards the top of the Amud. Shabbos Shechal Tisha B'Av Lios Besocha Asur Lasap L'Chabes. The Mishnah told us that the week that Tisha B'Av falls out on, so you cannot do laundry on that day. Amar Rav Nachman Loshenu L'Chabes L'Vilovosh. So Rav Nachman says that this halacha, that you can't do laundry, is limited to doing laundry and wearing the clothing. But if you're just going to do laundry during Shavuot Shechabo, during the week that Tisha B'Av falls out on, so that would be okay, that would be acceptable, provided that, of course, you wear it, the laundry clothing, after Tisha B'Av. Rav Sheshet Amar, Afilu L'chabes L'aniach Asur. Rav Sheshet says, no, the act of laundering itself is also going to be prohibited. Amar Rav Sheshet Teda Debale Katsu Debeira. So Rav Sheshet says, I'll tell you that I'm right, because the launderers of the Yeshiva of Rav stopped working the week of Tisha B'Av. Right, the katsre is a term for launderer, as we pointed out a number of times. You can see Rashi, you can see Tosfos over here. The word katsre, because what happens when you send your clothing to the dryer, to the dry cleaner, so they shorten your clothing. And the word, it's funny, I know it's funny, but it's true. And the word katsre, from the word katsar, meaning that when you give it to the launderer, that's what's going to happen. Your clothing are going to shrink. Anyway, but the point of the Gemara is that there, the launderer of Bei Rav was closed during the week of Tisha B'Av, Shavuot Shechabo, and the reason why is because Rav Sheshet says, because Rav also held that you can't do laundry during the week of Tisha B'Av. Mezav Rav Hamanuna Bechamishim Mutar Mimnei Kvara Shabbos. So the Gemara says, okay, but look at what we learned back in the Mishnah. We learned in the Mishnah that there's a heter, where yes, you can't do laundry on the week of Tisha B'Av, but you could do laundry on Thursday. Now the Gemara points out, now what are we talking about? We're talking about doing laundry and wearing, meaning doing laundry and wearing it on Thursday, that's not Kavod Shabbos. El al hanich. So the Gemara says, obviously what you're doing is you're doing laundry on Thursday, but obviously to leave it aside for Shabbos. So the heter is to do laundry and to put it aside for Shabbos. Uvechamishu d'shari avah b'Shabbos kula aser. And the heter is only for that Thursday of the week of Shavuot Shechabo, but for not any other day. So the Gemara says, this seems to be an excellent proof for Rav Sheshet, that the act of laundering itself is prohibited on Shavuot Shechabo, even if you plan on putting it away and wearing it after the week is over. So the Gemara says, no. La'olam l'chabes v'lova, she'en lo ala chalok echad. So the Gemara says, no. Maybe it's talking about a scenario where you're going to launder and you're going to wear it immediately, and maybe it's talking about where you only have one garment. If you only have one garment, so you're allowed to launder during Chol HaMoed. Meaning the Gemara over here is making a comparison. The Gemara is saying it's just like Chol HaMoed, you're not allowed to do laundry. But if you only have one garment, you're allowed to do the laundry during Chol HaMoed. So same thing over here, we're talking about a person who only has one garment. The Gemara points out that Rabbi Lazar also is of the opinion that to do laundry on Shavuot Shechabo would be permitted, provided that you leave it for after the week is over. Meisvei. So the Gemara challenges again. Asa l'chabes lifnei Tisha B'Av, afilu l'haniach l'achar Tisha B'Av. The Braisa says you cannot launder the week of Tisha B'Av, even if you're going to leave it for after Tisha B'Av. V'giyot shalan kibba shalahem. And giyot is the pressing, what we would call ironing. The ironing of the clothing is like their laundering. Uklipishan ein ba'am mishum giyutz. And when it comes to linen, so linen is a very soft fabric, so it's not subject to this giyutz, to this ironing. So Tiyufta, the Gemara says, okay, so in other words, but the Brisa, the beginning of the Brisa spells out very clearly that the act of laundering itself is also going to be prohibited. So therefore, the Gemara's conclusion is that Shavua Shechaba, the week of Tisha B'Av, so you can't launder clothing and wear it. You can't even launder clothing during Shavua Shechaba and put it on afterwards. Shalach Rav Yitzchak Bar Gurya Mishmei de Rabbi Yochanan Papishar Mekli Pishnei Mei Mishim Giyot Ava Asol Lav Shem B'Shabbos Shechal Tisha B'Av Lios B'Socha. Now, even though we said that when it comes to Kli Pishnei, when it comes to linen clothing, so Ein Behem Mishim Giyot, meaning the ironing is not going to be an issue by them, but still you can't launder them the week of Tisha B'Av. So Amar Rav Lo Shanu Ela Lafanav Ala Achar of Mutar. Now, we keep talking about Shavuot Shechaba, the week that Tisha B'Av falls out on. So, for example, this year, Tisha B'Av is falling on a Tuesday. Okay, so in other words, what are we talking about when we say that the week of Tisha B'Av is prohibited? Do we mean the entire week, meaning even the days after Tisha B'Av? In this case, in this year's case, that would be Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday. Or do we mean no? Shavuot Shechaba only means the week of Tisha B'Av up to Tisha B'Av, meaning this in this particular year, it would mean Sunday, Monday. Obviously, Tisha B'Av would be on a Tuesday. Sunday and Monday are prohibited, but then the days afterwards, Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday, that would be permitted. So the Gemara over here quotes, in the name of Rav, so Lo Shanu Lefanav Aval Acharav Mutar, that the Shavu Shechaba prohibition is only for the days before Tisha B'Av. The days after Tisha B'Av are permitted. Shmuel Amar Filo Acharav Nami Asar, and Shmuel's more machmir. Shmuel's stringent, Shmuel's of the opinion that no, Shavu Shechaba means the week of Tisha B'Av, meaning even including the days after Tisha B'Av as well. Meisve, the Gemara quotes a Brisa. Shabbos Shechal Tisha B'Av Lios Besocha Asol Lesap Lechabes Vechamishim Mutarim Emnei Kavla Shabbos. So the Brisa over here starts the exact same way as our Mishnah did, meaning that you're not allowed to do laundry, and get a haircut on Shavu Shechaba on the week of Tisha B'Av. And then, but the Brisa goes on, Ketzad. The Brisa says, I'll give you examples. So for example, if, let's say, Tisha B'Av falls out on a Sunday, so that means that you would be allowed to do laundry for the balance of the week, meaning the balance of the week is after Tisha B'Av, even though it's Shavu Shechaba, but you could do laundry for the balance of the week. Right away, I mean, we don't have to go further than the Brisa. You see the Brisa is clearly conforming to the position of Rav, following the viewpoint of Rav. Okay, we'll go on to the Brisa. If Tisha B'Av fell out on a Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, or Thursday, so any day before would be prohibited, and any day afterwards would be permitted. Chalios Be'er Shabbos. Now, if Tisha B'Av falls out on a Friday, now again, in our fixed calendar, we've said this many times, Tisha B'Av will not fall out on a Friday. Tisha B'Av, and with our fixed calendar, Tisha B'Av will not fall out on a Monday or Wednesday or Friday. Lo Badu, right? How I got to that point is because we know that Rosh Chodesh Nisan will not fall out on a Monday, Wednesday, or Friday. Lo Badu Nisan. Right? Nisan will not fall out with our fixed calendar. Nisan does not fall out on a Monday, Wednesday, or Friday. And we know that the first day of Nisan is also going to be the first day of Pesach. And we know that the first day of Pesach is always going to be the first day of Tisha B'Av. I mean, the first day. The day of Tisha B'Av. Okay, so with our fixed calendar, this is not going to happen, but fine. That's with our fixed calendar. But it's theoretically possible. So when Tisha B'Av falls on a Friday, then mutal chabetz bechamishim imnei kavod Shabbos. Then you could do laundry on Thursday because of kavod Shabbos, because you want to honor the Shabbos. V'im lo kibetz bechamishim b'Shabbos mutar lechabetz be'erev Shabbos min amincha ulamala. And then the Brisa says, and what if? What if, let's say, Tisha B'Av falls on a Friday, and you do have permission, you have a heter to launder your clothing on Thursday because of kavod Shabbos, but what if you don't? So then the Brisa says, so then you can do laundry on Tisha B'Av itself, but only in the afternoon of Tisha B'Av as it gets closer to the Shabbos. The Brisa says that would be okay. Layit ala Abaye v'itema Rav Acha bar Yaakov, aha. And Abaye, or some say Rav Acha bar Yaakov, says no. Meaning, not no, but layit. Layit means I curse the individual who does this. I don't curse him, but in other words, but a curse will befall him. Meaning, I really strongly condemn using the last heter of the Brisa, even though the Brisa does allow you to do laundry on Tisha B'Av, in the event that Tisha B'Av falls on a Friday and you didn't do laundry on Thursday, which you should have done, and yes, the Brisa does allow you to do it on Friday, but really, that's really not recommended. Okay, anyway, what comes out clearly from the Brisa is that you are, when we say Shavu Shechaba, we mean the days, we're talking about the week that Tisha B'Av falls out, but all the Yisurim, all the prohibitions are only on the days before, not on the days after. Chalios B'Sheni V'Chamisha Korin Shlosha U'Maftir Echad. Excuse me. If Tisha B'Av falls out on a Monday or Thursday, so you read the Sefer Torah in the morning, three aliyahs, uv'revi korechad, I'm sorry, u'maftir echad, and a haftarah. And then, v'shlisha v'revi, now if Tisha B'Av falls out on a Tuesday or on a Wednesday, korechad maftir v'echad, I'm sorry, u'maftir echad. So then it's one aliyah, and with the haftarah. Rabbi Yossi Amar l'olam shekorin shlosha. Rabbi Yossi says no, regardless of what day of the week Tisha B'Av falls out on, you're always going to call up three aliyahs, u'maftir echad, with a haftarah. And okay, ad kan divrei habraisa. Presumably shachris. It's not clear. Correct. But presumably the braisa is talking about shachris. But anyway, what comes out now is that according to the braisa supports the position of Rav and is against the position of Shmuel. The Gemara notes tiyufta de Shmuel. So the so this braisa clearly is a challenge on Shmuel, because again Shmuel's position is that the week that Tisha B'Av falls out on, all the isurim of being mesaper and kibbutz, of getting a haircut and laundry, are applicable before and after. This braisa clearly is against Shmuel. The Gemara says you're right. Hamlecha Shmuel Tanayi. Shmuel in his defense would say that's one braisa. There's another braisa. D'tanya Tisha B'Av shechalios b'Shabbos v'chein erev Tisha B'Av shechalios b'Shabbos. If Tisha B'Av falls out on a Shabbos, or if Tisha B'Av falls out on Sunday, so in terms of eating on Shabbos, eat like you normally would eat on Shabbos. Meaning, even though it's either Tisha B'Av or Erev Tisha B'Av, right? The brights over here is dealing with both scenarios. But even if it's Tisha B'Av, Tisha B'Av gets pushed off. Tisha B'Av is moved to Sunday. And Shabbos, in terms of Shabbos, you eat like a regular Shabbos. And the braisa then goes on to say that you cannot get a haircut and launder your clothing from Rosh Chodesh until the fast. That's Rav Meir's position. Rav Yehuda Omer, Kol HaChodesh Kulo. Rav Yehuda says the entire month. And Rabbi Shimon Gamliel Omer, Eino Oser Ela Oser Shabbos Bilvat. And Rabbi Shimon Gamliel says, no, only that week. V'tanya Idach. And then the Gemara quotes another braisa. Noeg Avel Meir Rosh Chodesh V'atanis Div Rabbi Meir. That the Avelos, the mourning period, extends from Rosh Chodesh until Tisha B'Av. Rabbi Yehuda Amir Kol HaChodesh Kula. Rabbi Yehuda says the entire month. And Kol HaChodesh Kula Aser. Rosh Hashim Gamlil Amir. Eino Aser Elo Oso Shabbos Belvad. Only that week in of itself. Anyway, these last two brises, what Shmuel will tell you is that at least according to Rabbi Shimon Gamliel, follows like Shmuel. In that, the week that Tisha B'Av falls out on, the Isurim of getting a haircut and doing laundry are true for the entire week, both for the days before and the days after Tisha B'Av. So therefore, Shmuel says, you're right, the previous braisa went against me, but this braisa would seem to go, would be going like me, or let's say more chronologically correct, I'm going like those braisas, and so therefore Shmuel says, I do have a leg to stand on. Anyway, as we all know, the halacha is, like Rav, that on Shavuot Shechabah, on the week that Tisha B'Av falls out on, the Yisurim are for the days before, but not for the days after. And just as a halachic note, I'm sure we all know that even when we say the day after, but really the Yisur of Kibbutz, of laundering and getting a haircut, only are lifted the day after Tisha B'Av and only after Chatzos. Okay, but the Amar Rabbi Yochanan, Ushosha Mikra Echad Darshu. Rabbi Yochanan says, look, there are three opinions in the Brice in terms of when the Yisurim apply. Either the week of Tisha B'Av, either the entire month of Av, or a middle position, which is from Rosh Chodesh until Tisha B'Av itself. So the Gemara points out, they all generated from the same Pasuk. Pasuk in Hosea says, V'ishpati kol mesosa chagach ha'lashara v'shabata. I will come an end to all the joy, the Chag, Chodesh, and Shabbos. So man, damer Rosh Chodesh v'atanis michaga. So the one who says it's from Rosh Chodesh, he's focusing on the word michaga. Chaga is a reference to Chag. Chag over here is a reference to Rosh Chodesh. Rosh Chodesh is Chag. Rashi points out, we learned it earlier, yesterday's daf, that Rosh Chodesh is Chag. We're on the top of daf Lamed Amud Aleph. Oman damer kol chodesh kulo aser michadsha. And the one who says that the entire month, the Isurim of Kibbutz and and being misaper is prohibited. It's from the word chorish. And then, obviously, the last position, which is shvu shechabo, generates it from the word shabbatah. Okay, the Gemara concludes. Amar Rava. Halacha ke Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel. So number one, Rava says, halacha is like Rabbi Shimon Gamliel. So that means of our three options of the Isurim of Avelus for the month of Av is for how long? So again, our three opinions are, Rabbi Yehuda says the entire month. Rabbi Meir says from Rosh Chodesh to Tisha B'Av. And Rav Shimon Gamliel says, no, only Shavu Shechaba, only the week of. So the Gemara says, Rava says, the conclusion is, week of. Halacha is like Rav Shimon Gamliel, only the week of Tisha B'Av. The Amar Rava, just give me a moment. Amar Rava, halacha ke Rabbi Meir. And furthermore, the halacha is like Rabbi Meir, which means that's a further heter, it's a further leniency. Not only are the Yisurim limited to Shavu Shechaba, but only the days before Tisha B'Av, not the days after Tisha B'Av. V'tarvai l'kula, and the Gemara spells it out. Both statements are made as to promote a leniency. Because if I said the halacha is like Rabbi Meir, I know it's the days before Tisha B'Av, but I might go all the way back to Rosh Chodesh. So that's why the Rav establishes the halacha is like Rabbi Shimon Gamliel, to tell us that the Isurim only start on the week of Tisha B'Av. And if we said the halacha is like Rabbi Shimon Gamliel, so then I would have thought that includes the entire week. Look, that's how Shmuel understood Rabbi Shimon Gamliel, that it applies for the entire week. Therefore, he says the halacha is like Rabbi Meir to tell us that A, the halacha is like Rabbi Shimon Gamliel, which means that the Yisurim are limited to only Shavu Shechabo, and B, even in Shavu Shechabo, only for the days before Tisha B'Av, not for the days after Tisha B'Av. Okay. Yeah, go ahead.
If theaters explicitly saying that, you know, how about the halachas that are going to be shown by the mayor, how could the Ashkenazim extend it to you?
It's a minhag. Meaning, we don't, in other words, on top of the halacha,
the thing is that when it comes to, like, Avilut, you're usually make halacha.
Correct. Understood. I guess, it's a fair question. Part of what the reason why these minhagim start is because there's an avelus of an individual, to which we'll see in Moikot, and you're absolutely correct. We tend to be more makel. And when it comes, as opposed to a national mourning, so we've gotten, and I guess also just as the years have progressed and, you know, we're further and further away, so maybe. But you're right. You're definitely right. In Avelis, we generally are more makel. Look, Rava's position over here is the most, in other words, he takes on the most makel of the positions, both in terms of the amount of time a week and even in the week. He only cuts it to the first part, not to the second half.
I mean, he's very explicit about
the halakha. Agreed. No argument. You're right. Erev Tisha B'Av lo yechol adam beis tavshilim. Okay, and now, what's our diet going to be on Erev Tisha B'Av? Obviously, Erev Tisha B'Av, we're going to go into a fast, but the Mishnah told us, go back to the Mishnah, and we remind one another, the Mishnah told us that for that meal, well, I'm giving away some information, but just say like the Mishnah, on Erev Tisha B'Av, a person shouldn't eat two cooked foods, and a person should not eat meat nor drink wine. Okay, that was, and as long as I'm in the Mishnah, Rabbi Shimon Gamliel says, Yishaneh. Nah, if Rabbi Shimon Gamliel says, just do a little bit of deviation from what you normally do, which we'll explain what we mean in just a moment. And again, by the way, just going back to Ben's point, but he's right, even though he didn't say it yet, but he's going to be right, in that it's very clear from the Gemara that they ate meat and they drank wine up to the day of Tisha B'Av, meaning up to Erev Tisha B'Av. And as we'll see in just a moment, they even did it on Erev Tisha B'Av itself, up to a point. So, and again, our minhagim are that we stop eating meat and drinking wine, already going back to Rosh Chodesh Av.
We're still doing drink and
no wine in 9 days, but the...
Yeah, so even
haircuts,
right, that's right. So, but they're right to them to a certain degree. Also, they have minhagim. We just the Ashkenazim have more minhagim on this. Amar Rav Yehuda, we're in the Gemara. We're at the two dots on Lamed Amar Aleph. Amar Rav Yehuda Lo Shana Olam Yishei Shalos Olamala. Avam Yishei Shalos Olamata Muter. So Rav Yehuda says again another heter. Yes, you're not allowed to have two cooked foods on Erev Tisha B'Av, but that's only in the afternoon. Anytime in the morning before Chatzos. So you're allowed to. Another kula, says Rav Yehuda, which is that is only on the suda mafsekes, on the meal that you are concluding, that will bring you into your fast. But if it's a meal prior to your fast, so then you can have cooked foods. Vitar vayu lekula. And Rav Yehuda meant both of these statements as a leniency. Utzricha. And the Gemara just spells it out. So first of all, Suda Mafsekis, let's say, it's hard to imagine, but let's say your Suda Mafsekis occurs sometime in the morning of Erev Tisha B'Av. Okay, not recommended. You'd want to eat later in the day, so make your fast a little bit easier. But I might have thought then that if, let's say, your Suda Mafsekis is 10 a.m. in Erev Tisha B'Av, so then you can't have two cooked foods. No, Rav Yehuda says, no, that's not correct. In the morning, you are not prohibited from any foods. There's no dietary restrictions on the morning of Erev Tisha B'Av. And then the Gemara points out that the second leniency of Rav Yehuda is that even in the afternoon, you are allowed to eat cooked foods up to the Suda Mafsekes. But once you enter into Suda Mafsekes, so then you cannot have cooked foods. Tanya Kalishna Kama, Tanya Kalishna Basra. And then the Gemara quotes brises that support both leniencies of Rav Yehuda. Number one, Tanya Kalishna Basra, Asod Erev Tisha B'Av, Im Asil Lesod Suda Acheres, Mutar Lechol Basra, V'lishtot Yain, Vim Lav Asil Lechol Basra, excuse me, V'lishtot Yain. So this brisa says that on Erev Tisha B'Av, if this is not Suda HaMafsekes, so then you can drink wine, eat meat. If it is Suda HaMafsekes, so then you can't. So clearly this brisa, like Rav Yehuda's second point, which is that as long as it's not Suda HaMafsekes, there's no dietary restriction. Tain Kalishna Kama, the Gemara quotes another brisa, Erev Tisha B'Av, lo yochol adam shen tashim, lo yochol basav, lo yishtei yayin. On Erev Tisha B'Av, a person cannot eat two cooked foods, nor eat meat, nor drink wine. Rav Shimon Gamliel omer yishaneh. Shimon Gamliel says, no, just a small deviation is all you need. Rabbi Yehuda, I'm Rabbi Yehuda Ketzad, Mishaneh. Rabbi Yehuda says, what did he mean by that? So Rabbi Yehuda is explaining what Rabbi Shimon Gamliel meant when he said a slight deviation. Im hayaragalecho shnei tafshin yochel min echad. V'im hayaragalo sod basar b'nei adam sod b'chamisha. It just simply means a minimizing. You want to just simply curtail what you normally do. So, for example, if your meal normally is two cooked dishes, have one. If you normally eat with 10 people, eat with 5. Ragalu shosa sara kosas, shosa chamisha kosas. If your normal imbibement is 10 cups over the course of the meal, I know that sounds like a lot. When we get to Moe Katan together, so you will see that there was a lot. They drank a lot more than what we're normally used to drinking. So if your normal drink amount is 10 cups, and I'm guessing, it's a guess, that their cups were much smaller. Either way, so then just go down to 5. And again, the Braisa says, all this is true in the afternoon of Erev Tisha B'Av. But in the morning of Erev Tisha B'Av, there is simply no restriction whatsoever. So once again, this Braisa supports the first point of Rav Yehuda. That morning of Erev Tisha B'Av, there is no restriction in terms of what you can eat. Tanya Idach, the Gemara quotes another bright star. Erev Tisha B'Av, lo yochol adam shei tashim, lo yochol basav, lo yishtei yayin, divrei Rabbi Meir. Rabbi Meir says in Erev Tisha B'Av, you cannot eat cooked foods, nor wine or meat. V'chachamim omrim yishaneh, umemayit b'basav yayin. And the Chachamim say, no, just a diminishment, literally a deviation. Keitza memayit emayah ragol echol litra, basav yochol chati litra. So if normally you have a full cut of meat, have a half a cut. And how you ragel lishos log yayin, you shechasi log yayin. And go from one log to half a log. V'imein a ragel kol yikar aser. Now let's say you're not a meat eater, and you're not a wine drinker, so then don't drink or eat meat at all. Shem gam liya omer, im haya ragel echol tznono maliach, acher sudasa harishos biyado. If let's say you eat vegetables or some salted fish after your meal, so you're allowed to do that afterwards as well. Tanya Idach, another brisa. I know the Gemara is just rattling off brisas right now. Kol shehu mishum Tisha B'Av asal lechol basar v'asal lishtos yayin. V'asar lirchotz. Kol she'enu mishum Tisha B'Av mutar lechol basar v'lishtos yayin v'asar lirchotz. If it is as a result of Tisha B'Av, so then Right? The Rashi points out over here, the Brisa here is referring to Suda Hamasekes. So then you can't eat meat and you can't drink wine and you can't bathe. And if it's Eino Mishum Tisha B'Av, and again Rashi points out, that means it's not the Suda Hamasekes. Rashi also offers another pshat as well, but it's not, let's just go with, it's not a Suda Hamasekes. So then you're allowed to eat meat and drink wine and you're allowed to bathe. Rabbi Shmuel B'Rav Yossi, Mishum Aviv, Rabbi Shmuel B'Rav Yossi, Omer Mishum Aviv, Rabbi Shmuel quotes his father, Rabbi Yossi, called Sha'a Shemoto Lachol, skip the next word, Moto Lirchot. As long as you can eat, you can bathe. Meaning, as long as you are in a period where there is no dietary restriction, in other words, you can eat meat, drink wine, and eat cooked food, so then you're allowed to bathe as well. Tanu Rabbanan. And one last brisa on this discussion. Right, it's unusual. The Gemara just brisa. The Gemara doesn't have any analysis of the brisa, no discussion of the brisa. The Gemara is just simply rattling off brisas. Kol mitzvos anuagas ba'avo anuagas b'tisha b'av. Any mitzvah that applies to an avel applies on tisha b'av as well. Asur ba'achilu v'shtiyah v'sichah v'nilas asanda uvitash mishamita. So you can eat and drink. Now, mind you, by the way, an avel is allowed to eat and drink. Right, but on Tisha B'Av there's an Isra Achila. It's a fast day, so you're not allowed to eat and drink, and you can't anoint yourself, and Ni'ila Sasanza can't wear leather shoes, and Tashmi Shemita and not have marital relations. V'asol Likros B'Torah Uvenivim Uviksuvim Lishnos B'Mishnah B'Talmud Amedrash Sholachos V'Agados. You cannot learn Tanakh, learn Mishnayos, learn Talmud, learn Midrashim, neither Halacha nor Agadata. However, if you're learning something for the first time, that's okay. Because learning from something for the first time is a struggle. Okay, amen. So, and so therefore, it does not bring about the same joy as going something over that you already know and are just looking for more penetrating analysis. That's easier and enjoyable. But learning something for the first time is going to be a struggle. That the Brisa says you can do. And what you can do also on Tisha B'Av is read Eicha, right? That's Kinos mentioned over here. Read Eicha and Sefer Iyov and any of the bad nevuahs mentioned in Sefer Yirmiyahu. And Tinok Shel Beis Rabban B'Tel Mishum Shenemar. And the yeshivas are closed. Right? One day a year, the yeshivas are closed. And that would be on Tisha B'Av. Shenemar Pekudei Hashem Yisharin Samche Leiv. Because what happens is, you learn Torah, you get happy. So, Pekudei Hashem, when you learn about a Kadosh Baruch Hu's mitzvos, Misamche Leiv. It makes one happy, it makes one rejoice. And again, for an Avel, either the Brisa here is describing personal Avelus, where the person lost one of the seven relatives, or for Tisha B'Av. So, obviously, that's the theme is not joy. Therefore, you cannot learn Torah. Rabbi Yehuda Omer Afei Nukor B'Makom Shein Ragol Likros V'Neshon B'Makom Shein Ragol Lishnos. So Rabbi Yehuda is more strict in terms of learning. Even opening up a new sefer and learning something for the first time is also going to be prohibited, says Rabbi Yehuda. Avakaru B'Iyu V'Kino V'Zvarim HaRayim Shebiyamu V'Teknok Shabbat Rabbim V'Telem Bo Mishum Shenemar Pekudei Hashem Misharim Mitzam Chilev. And then Rabbi Yehuda repeats the position of the Tanakama in that you are allowed to learn the sad parts of Torah, Eicha and Yirmiyahu and any of the sad parts of the Torah. And we know also this heter also extends to learning. And I don't know if it's a heter, but you are allowed to learn sad parts of the Gemara as well. Meaning you can go back to the Gemara that we just did yesterday, Chav Tes and Tanis. You can go over that on Tisha B'Av. All the Gemaras in Gittin, Daf Nun Vav, Nun Zayin, Nun Ches. The description of the destruction of the Second Temple, that also you could do in Tisha B'Av. So in other words, not just Tanakh, but any Gemaras that have to do with it as well. Lo yochal basar, v'lo yishtei yayin. We are on the bottom of Lamed Amad Aleph, and the Gemara now is going to continue with the discussion of what you cannot eat on Erev Tisha B'Av. Time will enter the bright of ochel hu basar malich v'shosei yayin migito. What you can do is you can eat salted meat and you can eat yain migito and you can eat wine right that was freshly placed into the vat. Basa maliach ad kama, and the Gemara here just gives us definitions. What exactly do we mean when we say salted meat? Amar Rav Chinana Bar Kahana Mishmei Dishmol Kol Zman Shehu Kishlamim. As long as it's like Shlamim, meaning, as Rashi points out over here, a Shlamim is kept for 2 days. You're not allowed to eat a Shlamim after the second day. So therefore, the Shlamim did not require heavy salting. The Shlamim, you know that you only had 2 days to eat it. Back then, in the good old days before refrigeration, if you know that you wanted the meat preserved for a longer period of time, so you put an excessive amount of salt on it. So once you put an excessive amount of salt on it, so then it's not carbon-like, and therefore you're allowed to eat it. Yain migito ad kama kozman shu toseis. And Tana, the Gemara here quotes the Braisa, that helps us better understand what that means. Yain toseis em b'mishum gilui. It's not subject to the concern of exposure. The Gemara many times points out that wine, if left exposed, is subject to a sakana. It's dangerous to drink some wine. The Gemara says that snakes are going to insert their venom in it. Tosa says repeatedly throughout the Gemara that we don't no longer concern ourselves with that. But either way, if it's fresh wine, meaning it was just placed into the vat, you don't have to worry. Vekama tisiso, and that is for how long? Gemal yam in the first 3 days. So for those first 3 days, it's considered yain tosis. And the basic idea of the Gemara is that once the meat no longer resembles the meat of a carbon, and once the wine no longer is not yet wine, so then there's no prohibition of eating or drinking such meat or wine. And again, the basic idea, now you understand, the basic idea is, why can't you eat meat and drink wine for your Suda Mafsekes on Erev Tisha B'Av? It's very simple. Because we're mourning the Chorban Beis HaMikdash, and we remind ourselves that once upon a time when we had the Beis HaMikdash, so we were eating karbanos and we were having nesachim, pouring the wine down the mizbeach, on the mizbeach. So as long as this meat and this wine doesn't qualify, so then there's no prohibition, there's no restriction from eating or drinking meat and wine.
It's a different reason though for the 9 days.
Again, the 9 days, our minhag, it's a minhag not to drink meat and not to drink wine and eat meat. And that's a minhag that we do. But the Gemara, just right now we're learning the Gemara, Aliba the Gemara, according to the strict letter of the law, you can eat meat and drink wine up to Tisha B'Av, even the morning, even the afternoon, as long as it's not Suda Mafsakis. And then a further heter is that if the meat is not carbon like meat, if the wine is not Nesachim like wine, so then even that you're allowed to eat and drink. Okay, that's the strict letter of the law. Am Rabbi Yehuda Marav Kachay Minagos Rabbi Yehuda Rabbi Eli. The minug of Rabbi Yehuda Rabbi Eli on Tisha B'Av in the Suda Hamafsekes is Erev Tisha B'Av Mivin Lo Pascha Reva B'Melech. They brought him bread, burnt bread with salt. The Yoshe Ben Tana LeKiraim. He sat between the ovens. The Ocha V'Shose Aleha Kiton Shalmayim, and he would eat the bread and water, and to him it was like the dead is right in front of him, meaning that he is in the most intense state of, we would say avelus, it's not even avelus, it's even pre-avelus. Avelus is after stima sagola, meaning after the lid is placed on the coffin, that's when avelus begins. When the dead is in front of you, so at that point in time you are at the most intense sense of pain and loss. And so that's how he conducted himself on Erev Tisha B'Av for the Suda Mafsekes. Tanan Asim will learn Tanan Mishnah. Makam Shenagu Lasos Malacha B'Tisha B'Av Osin. Makam Shenagu Shalasos Ein Osin. V'chol Makam Talmide Chacham B'Telim. Reshim Gamil Amar Lolam Yasek Kol Adam Atzmok Tam Chacham. The Gemara here quotes the Mishnah in Psachim. In the fourth parak of Psachim. So the Mishnayos over there deal with Minag HaMakom. Right? Customs of a location. Right, the reason why the parak over there started with that discussion is because on Erev Pesach, some communities work on Erev Pesach, some don't, up till Chatzos. After Chatzos, nobody works on Erev Pesach. So, but in terms of the morning of Erev Pesach, depending on the minhag of your community, same thing with Tisha B'Av as well. Right, that's the continuation of the Mishnah that's over there in Pesachim. On Tisha B'Av, some communities work, and some communities do not work on Tisha B'Av. If you're a Talmud Chacham, so you should not work on Tisha B'Av. Rav Shimon Gamliel says, in this regard, everyone should behave like a Talmid Chacham. Generally speaking, if you're not a Talmid Chacham, the Gemara does not condone behaving like a Talmid Chacham. That's what the Gemara refers to as Mechzei Ki Yuara. It looks arrogant, but the Gemara points out, not here, elsewhere, the Gemara points out that for this halacha, meaning to do extra mourning on Tisha B'Av, so Rav Shimon Gamliel adopts the idea, endorses the idea, that even if you're not a bona fide Talmid Chacham, but still you should conduct yourself accordingly. Tanyanami Hacha, the Gemara quotes the Brisa, Rav Shimon Gamliel, Amar Lo Lam Yaseh Adam Atzmo K'Talmid Chacham, K'dei She'Yit'Aneh. Person should afflict himself on Tisha B'Av, and aside from all the inuyim, the standard inuyim, also desist from working as well. Someone who eats on Tisha B'Av is ki'ilu, it's as if you eat on Yom Kippur. Now ki'ilu, it's as if, meaning Yom Kippur, it's an Issa D'Oraisa. It's a biblical prohibition to do so. Tisha B'Av, it's not. But the idea is that we should view it as just as prohibited. The Rabbi Kiva Omer Kolaus Malacha B'Tisha B'Av Einu Ro'a Siman Bracha La'Olam. Rabbi Kiva says you work on Tisha B'Av, you will not see Siman Bracha. Meaning work, you have to work. It's understandable, but avoid it. And in a cost analysis, Rabbi Kiva says it won't work. V'Chachamim Omer Kolaus Malacha B'Tisha B'Av Einu Ve'Einu Matabal Al Yushalayim Einu Oroa B'Simchasa. If you don't desist from working on Tisha B'Av and you don't properly mourn, so then you won't see the joy. Shenemer Simchus Yerushalayim V'Gilo Baal Kol Aaveh Siso Asam Asos Kol HaMisablim Aleh. Pasuk in Yeshayahu says, who's going to rejoice? Those who mourned over the loss. Mikan Amru Kol HaMisablim Al Yerushalayim Zoch Vero B'Simchasa. Properly mourning over Tisha B'Av allows a person to enjoy its Simcha. V'Sheinam HaMisablim Yerushalayim Eino Ro B'Simchasa. Eating meat and drinking wine on Tisha B'Av. Pasuk says regarding you, "Vatihi avonosam al atzmosam." Right, the sins are on them, meaning that it's really an embodiment of avera. Rav Yehuda mechayev b'kfiyas amita v'lahodu l'chachamim. Back to the Mishnah. The Mishnah says that Rav Yehuda says that we should all overturn our beds. The practice of avelim, as we're going to learn together in Moi Katan, is that when a person is an avelus, he overturns his bed. What's called kfiyas amita. Okay, we'll talk about it more in Moi Katan. So the question is, on Tisha B'Av, should you do that? And the Mishnah brought down a debate between Rav Yehuda and the Chachamim. Rav Yehuda says yes, the Chachamim said no. Parenthetically, the Aval nowadays does not do kfiyas amita. Why not? Already the Rishonim are bothered by this question of why we don't do it anymore. But anyway, Tanya, the Gemara here quotes a Braisa. Amru lo le Rav Yehuda lidvarecha ubar samanikos mate aleim. So according to you, an ubar minekes, a woman who's pregnant, a woman who's nursing, they can't sleep on the floor. They're in a very delicate state. They can't sleep on the floor. So what are you suggesting? Amru lo afani lo amarti lo biyachol. So Rav Yehuda says, you misunderstood me. I didn't say everybody should do kfiyas amita. If you're in a position where you can overturn your bed and you're sleeping on the floor, so if you can, so then you should. So then the Gemara quotes a Braisa where basically the Chacham and Rav Yehuda agree with one another. If you're in a position where you can overturn your bed and sleep on the floor, so you should do so. If you're in a position where you can't, you're physically unable to do so then you shouldn't do so. So then, if everyone's agreeing, so where's our machlokas? Am I benayu kabenayu shar mitas? So the Gemara says the machlokas is regarding the beds that you're not sleeping on. Okay, a person has many beds in his house; not all of them are being used. So the issue is not whether a person who can should do kfiyas mita and a person who can't does not need to do kfiyas mita. The Gemara says everyone's in agreement. The issue is, in addition to overturning your own bed, should you overturn the other beds in your house? Kid Tanya, we're going to see this again in Moed Katan. Kesham lechafos amita lo am lamitas abavadu kofe ela kol mitos kulanu kofe amarava. I'm sorry, kofe. So the Brice on Moed Katan says that when a person is a novel, he should overturn all the beds in his house. So what Rav Yehuda was endorsing was the idea that not only should you overturn your bed, but like a novel, you should overturn all the beds in your house. And the Chachamim on that would disagree. So the Gemara, so Rava again comes to a conclusion. Second time today, we see Rava arriving at a halachic conclusion. That is, no kfiyas amita. Meaning, like our Tana indicates, like the position in our Mishnah, which is not that there's any type of agreement to the position of Rav Yehuda, but rather nothing. No Kfiyas Samita should be done for Tisha B'Av. Amar Rabbi Shimon Gamliel lo hayu yamim tovim liyisrael kechamisha asar ba'av uki yom ha-kippurim. Okay. And finishing up, the Gemara over here is now quoting the last part of the Mishnah. You go back to the Mishnah on Chaf Vav. The Mishnah told us, the Mishnah ended off with some good news. And that is that contrasting the days of sadness that the Mishnah described in detail, Shiva Sabbatamas and Tisha B'Av, there are days of joy. And the days of joy are Yom Kippur and the 15th day of Av, to which the Gemara now comments, Bishlama Yom HaKippurim Mishum De'is Be'Slicha U'Mechila Yom Shenitna Boluchos Achronos. So Yom Kippur, I get it. Totally understand why Yom Kippur is a day of immense joy. Because Slicha Mechila were forgiven. A day when the Luchos Achronos are given to us, it's all Yom Kippur. Good. So and take a look at Rashi over here. Rashi gives the timeline in terms of how we know that the Luchos Achronos were given on Yom Kippur. It does not mention that in the Torah itself, but the Gemara here assumes it. Rashi gives the timeline. See Rashi for that discussion in terms of how we know that's so. So fine, so the Gemara says, I have no problem with Yom Kippur. I understand. A joyous day. But Ela Tesvav Ba'av Mahi, the 15th day Ba'av, right? Tu Ba'av. What's so exciting about Tu Ba'av? In other words, there's no record of Tu Ba'av in the Torah. What makes it such a joyous day? Am Rav Yehuda Amar Shmuel. So the Gemara will give us 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. Gemara is going to give us 6 different opinions in terms of what made Tu Ba'av so exciting. So number 1, Am Rav Yehuda Amar Shmuel. Yom Shehutra Shvatim Lavoze Bizeh, a day in which intermarriage was allowed. You cannot quote me out of context. only in context. The Shvatim were allowed to intermarry. Maidrosh, meaning that up until a point in time, the assumption was is that you are limited to marry only within your shevet, and that you are not allowed to marry another Jew from another shevet. Now, why? Because you look at the end of this week's parsha, it works out perfectly. You look at the end of this week's parsha, so what you're going to find over there is that the Bnot Slavchad go to... go to Moshe and say, we're 5 sisters. We have no father. Father died, and what's going to happen? How are we're going to go inherit Yisrael, and what's going to happen? So they're going to inherit the portion of their father. But Moshe said to them, but here's the thing: you're also going to marry someone in your shevet, so that the land doesn't go to another shevet. So now davar zeh lo yeno gala bedor zeh. So before that point in time. So that means then that in terms of pool of eligibility, like who can I turn to marry? So from there, it would sound like this is not just true for Bnot Slavchad; it'd be true for everybody. And once you diminish the pool of eligibility, so that's difficult. It's sad, right? They talk about the Shidduch crisis nowadays. I have nothing intelligent to add to it, but in other words, but the idea is that when there's problem making Shidduchim, that's sad. And so, what happened was is on Tu B'Av, on the 15th day of Av. Now, exactly when, I'm not sure, meaning. This was what? The first year that they learned this halacha? I'm not sure historically when they, quote-unquote, figured this out. But they gave a heter, and the heter is based on a drasha. So, Davar Zeh lo yenog ela bedor zeh. Davar Zeh is only for that generation. Meaning only for generation 1 was there a prohibition of marriage, intermarriage between one shevet and another. But after the first generation, so then all prohibitions are off. One person can marry from a different shevet. Amar of Yosef, Amar of Nachman. Okay, so that was opinion number 1 in terms of why Tu B'Av became such a festive day. Number 2, Yom Shehutra Shevet Binyamin Lava Bekal. Shevet Binyamin was... the ban on Shevet Binyamin was lifted. Shenemar v'ish Yisrael nishba b'mitzvah lemor ish mimenu li'item b'tol l'binyamin li'isha. So my drosh amarav mimenu v'lo mi'benenu. there was a ban placed on Sheva Binyamin. Go through the last three prakim of Sefer Shoftim, Yutes Chaf and Chaf Aleph. You will learn there, if you haven't already learned this, a horrific story that involved Pilegesh Begeva. And based on the story, I'm not going to go through the whole story right now, but based on the incident, there was a ban on marrying within Sheva Binyamin. So Sheva Binyamin, if you will, was excommunicated. We're excommunicated. And so the ban was lifted on Tu B'Av. Now the ban was lifted for the next generation. Next generation can marry back into the Jewish people. That's position number two. And this ban was lifted on Tu B'Av. Position number three, opinion number three. Rabba Barbachan Amar Rav Yochanan Yom Shekal Ba Meisim Midbar. Tamamar Ashlo Kala Meisim Midbar Lo Yaha Dibur Im Moshe Shenemar Vayika Sher Tamu Kol Anshei Melchama Lamos Vayidaber Hashem Elai Elai Hayah Dibur. The third opinion in the Gemara is that Tu B'Av is the day in which we stopped dying in the Midbar. What does that mean? Take a look at Rashi. Rashi writes, Kol Arba'im Shana, right, Rashi Divra Maskol Shekolam Eisei Midbar? Kol Arba'im Shana Shayu Be Midbar, B'chol Erev Tisha B'Av, Hayu Akruz Yotzeva Omer Tzu Lachpur. What would happen, this is just an unbelievable visualization, but on Erev Tisha B'Av, so they would, when the 40 years, while they're going through the desert, so the announcement was made, everyone's got to dig a grave, V'ayu Kol Echa V'Echa Yotzev Echofer Lo Kever, and so everyone would dig their grave, V'yishan Bo, and then sleep in their grave. V'shema Yamus, Kodem Shiachpor Lamachar Kruz Yotzev V'Kore Yibadlu Chayim Min HaMeisen. The next morning, so the announcement was, separate the live from the dead, meaning whoever made it through the night and woke up in the morning, obviously can now get up and walk out of their grave. And this was the practice for the 40 years while going through the desert. And they did this in year 40 as well. And the next morning, everybody woke up. And everyone walked out of the grave. Now, for the last 40 years, this is not how it worked. Meaning, for the last 40 years, some woke up, but some didn't. So, Shema Ta'inu Becheshbon HaChodesh. And they thought they made an error in terms of calculating the month. So Chaz v'shachvu b'kivrein b'leilos ad lel chamisha asar. And so from the ninth day of Av, they kept repeating because they figured we must have made a mistake. So they kept doing it again and again, night after night. Night of the 10th, night of the 11th, night of the 12th, and they kept doing it until they got to the 15th. Once they got to the 15th, so then they realized it's over. The klala is over. Or in other words, what happens in the middle of the month? So you know your moon, so you'll know. Middle of the month, you're seeing a full moon. At that point in time, they realized it's not Tisha B'Av. And it's not. And we can't even. We're done speculating. Meaning, for sure, it's not. Tisha B'Av has come and gone, and the klala is over. So, well, the Gemara here is assuming that it's the point of realization. Meaning, you're right. Meaning they, but the point of realization is really the point of joy. So, shel gazon ishlam akavu oso hador la oso yom yomtov. So, therefore, that 15th day of Av, since it was a day of realization, that turns into a yomtov.
Somebody survived if the Torah says nobody survived except Caleb and Yoshua.
Yeah, thank you.
Yeah. Okay. Good. Good. Meaning, what they knew, right? Anyone who was over 20 and anyone who was under 20, and they just didn't know. And if it's what was it? In other words, if right, and if you look in Parsha Shlach, it says that for 40 years you're going to be cursed. So, in other words, they were making the mistake. I'm guessing. I don't know. I don't know this to be so, but they're guessing. They made a mistake in terms of whether it's 40th, including the 40th, 40th up to the 40th. Maybe that was the issue. Okay, I'm unclear. Okay, but anyway, good questions. Number four, we're on the very bottom of Lamed Amud Beis. Ulama Yom Shabito Hoshea ben Ela Pruzdiot Shoshiv Yeravam ben Navat Al Hadrach Mishalo Yalu Yisrael LaRegel Va'amr LeEzish Yirtzi Yalu. The roadblock that prevented the northern kingdom from going down making Aliyah LaRegel, which was put up on Yeravam ben Navat. You remember yesterday's daf, the Gemara. I'm so angry with Yeravam ben Nevad over doing this. Later on historically, the roadblocks were taken up, and that was on the 15th day of Av. Number five. We're on the top of Lamed Aleph Amud Aleph. Rav Masna Amar Yom Shenisnu Haruge Beitar Lekvura. The day in which Haruge Beitar were sentenced, were allowed to be buried. We just discussed yesterday, approximately 60 years after the Churban Bayis Sheni, about the year 130. So there was an attempt to start a rebellion against the Romans, thinking that we had Mashiach, thinking that we were going to build Bayis Shlishi, and in Beitar we were destroyed again. And the Romans, just to make the point that don't try this again, so not only did they defeat all the Jews in Beitar, but on top of that, they also did not allow for the burial of them, of the Jews who were killed in Beitar. And only on the 15th day of Av, now historically I do not know how long it was that the bodies were left unburied, but only on the 15th day of Beitar, I'm sorry, 15th day of Av, so the Jews were allowed to be buried. To which the Gemara points out that a miracle takes place. The bodies did not decompose. The bodies did not decay. And that was a miracle. And they established the bracha, the fourth bracha of benching of Hatova Ameitiv, in response to that. Okay, and let's just finish up. Rabba v'Rav Yosef Darmi Tarvaihu. The Gemara over here cites now a sixth opinion. Shepesku Melechros Eitzim Lamaracha. The day in which they stopped cutting wood for the Mizbeach. After the 15th day of Av, the sun relaxes a little bit. In other words, remember, Tammuz, Av, those are summer months. And once you get to the 15th day of Av, you are now making a turn into the fall. And there was no need to cut wood anymore because ain yevation, they're just simply not dry. Yom Tavar Magal, the day in which the saw stops. Mikan ve'elach demosif Yosef v'delomosif Yosef. So, and from that day going forward, meaning now we're going into the fall, what's happening? The nights are getting longer. And what should you be doing as the nights are getting longer? The obvious answer, you should be learning more Torah. Meaning that with longer nights now, you have more time where you're not in the field, you're not out in the field, you're not working, you're home, and you should be learning Torah. And that's what the Gemara here quotes. It's the Gemara says, it's a mission avos that the Mosif Yosef, if you add more to your learning, so that's great. Udalo Mosif, so question of what the correct year is, but Yeah Seif, meaning that's it. My Yeah Seif, I'm Rav Yosef, Tikbere Ime. Right? You're gonna be buried. Prematurely, meaning when it's not your time. Okay, Adkan, we'll stop over here. So again, what we went through today, Baruch Hashem, what we went through today is basically the halachas of Tisha B'Av, as mentioned already. Not that many halachas actually mentioned, a number of brises recording and reviewing the various halachas of Tisha B'Av. Again, disclaimer for the day, we accepted upon ourselves minhagim above and beyond that which is actually mentioned in the Gemara. Right? Look it up. The shul actually did an excellent job in terms of summarizing the halachas, and then the Gemara spent time discussing the days of joy, which are the days of Yom Kippur and the days of Tu B'Av. And the Gemara, we just went through six opinions in the Gemara. What exactly was the historical impetus for the joy of Tu B'Av? Adkan.